Welcome back to Cinema Puradiso.
Yay!
Where we celebrate the good, bad, and ugly cinema. Back in the studio with me is my good friend Heather Dragulescu.
Hello, Peach.
What's up, Heather? How have you been?
Pretty good. It's pretty good times.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Anything new? Anything exciting?
Just booking shows, which is nice. Good fun things to do. Trying to work on some new comedy stuff. Trying to do the comedy stuff more. You've been at this a lot longer than I have, doing comedy. So
yeah,
you know those first couple years where you're like, I should quit today.
Yeah.
No, I'll keep going. But that was a really bad open mic. I think I'm going to quit. So,
this is the one thing I found out in stand-up comedy. When I got frustrated and said, I'm not going to do this anymore. Mm-hmm. And then I would go see a stand-up show and see everybody go up. And I'd be like, yeah, I want to do this. So.
That's true.
And it's fun. I like to do it for fun. I definitely don't do it for the money.
Oh, yeah. What money?
Yeah, there's no money.
The money we put into it all?
I think probably my second year of comedy was the first time I got paid.
Oh,
and I made $20.
Nice.
And then I got paid again. I made some money last year. I made $25.
Well, you're moving up that line.
Yeah, this year so far I've made no money.
You're still young. You're still young.
But you know the value I get out of it is laughs. I like to make people laugh.
I do too. It's interesting. You know, I got that talent manager, and I'm going to all these auditions, and they say like plus size, but then when I get there, it's all like skinny blondes. And I went to one that was like, must have comedic chops, comedic timing, must comedy, like it said comedy 4 times in the description. And when I got there, like, this is totally serious. Play it straight. We don't want any sort of for laughs. And I'm like, what? Why am I here?
Yeah,
did not get a call back.
That makes no sense.
So, yeah, that's my life, is getting picked for all these things and then showing up and it being... I don't know. I mean, I think it's a crapshoot. It's a legitimately a crapshoot. And whenever I see something that's like, must look ethnic, you know some blonde girl's going to show up. And they'd be like, well, she's cute. Let's just cast her. So, it's, you know.
Yeah.
Don't want to do it anymore. The entertainment industry is hard. I like my stage. I like comedy. I like knowing I'm not going to make any money. There's no expectations. Yeah. So, if money shows up one day, what a surprise. But I don't know about the auditioning thing.
Yeah, I used to do it when I first came out to L.A. I'm originally from Chicago. And, it left a sour taste in my mouth. And I actually enjoy doing background work more.
Mm.
And I became a seasoned background actor.
I see your smoking jacket. It's up like, oh, yes, all the films I've walked behind.
Yes. Smoked plenty of herb cigarettes. And because that's what you smoke on screen, folks. It's not real cigarettes. It's herb cigarettes, which suck. And burn the hell out of your throat. I once did background for Mad Men.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. And there was a bump if you said you'd smoke. And I was a smoker at the time. I said, yeah, I'll smoke. And it was like, the bump, I think, was like an extra $20. And so it was like one scene, a restaurant scene. Yeah. And I had a smoke.
Yeah.
Through the entire scene, in which the shoot was like 8 hours.
Oh, no.
So as soon as they yelled cut, a prop person would come over and like snuff out my cigarette and then relight it.
Oh, my Lord.
And then, it was just, by the end of that day, I said, I'm quitting smoking. That's it. And then in that episode, you only see the back of my head and whiffs of smoke. Coming.
Could have just had a smoke machine like puffing out. That's hilarious. Oh, if you want to stop smoking, smoke herbal cigarettes for 8 hours in one day. And then you'll never want to do it again.
But I got really good at talking without anything coming out of my mouth. And if I was in a restaurant scene eating without clanking the silverware on dishes. And
That's going to lead to a really good job as like a ninja or something. Like getting into places all quiet and smooth and... That's exciting.
But then I got tired of it.
Oh.
I got tired of being, corralled with a bunch of people who were writing screenplays and thought that, being the background on NCIS Los Angeles was going to be their big break. and it just...
Yeah. Not for you.
No. I mean, you could make a living out of it if you do it long enough and get your SAG card.
I think there's a documentary about that, actually, about background actors.
Oh, is there?
Yeah, I think I saw, like one guy rides around on his bike every day to all these different locations to see what's shooting and if he can get in on it. Oh. And then there's, like, a little lady who, it's like, she retired and decided to go into background work. I don't know what it's called, but look it up.
Right. Yeah, I'll have to find that. So anyway, we're talking about show business, and it's kind of fitting because we're going to talk about Showgirls.
Oh, I love this movie.
Showgirls, directed by Paul Verhoeven.
Mm-hmm.
Director, the guy, he directed RoboCop, Total Recall, The Hollow Man.
I didn't see that one.
That's the horror movie with Kevin Bacon.
Oh, gotcha.
It's an updated version of The Invisible Man.
Oh, okay.
And Starship Troopers.
Love that one.
And also he directed Basic Instinct.
That's a good one.
And Basic Instinct was written by Joe Esterhaus, who also wrote Showgirls.
How could such right go so wrong? This should have been great.
Yeah. Well, and the one thing, too, is that Joe Esterhaus, at the time, was the highest paid screenwriter in Hollywood.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. Did he write this when he was in college and he just had to produce a script, so he just pulled it out and, like, submitted it? Because how did he write so poorly? Like, this just, the dialogue in this and the story is so awful. It's beautiful.
Yes. It's a happy accident.
It is.
But the thing is, Joe Esterhaus said years later that he meant to write it that way. He meant the movie to be campy.
That's such a lie.
And it's supposed to be campy dialogue. Oh, I believe it's a lie,
That's
too.
A lie.
but I guess the whole concept of Showgirls came out of when they were making Basic Instinct, and Paul Verhoeven told Joe Esterhaus, say, look, I want to make a movie that's an homage to the old MGM musicals.
All that DNA.
And that's what Showgirls is. Yeah.
Oh my god.
It's like, geez. And when I heard that, I was like, well, gee, I don't remember all the TNA and
yeah.
In The Wizard of Oz and all that.
Those munchkins in the background. We're looking.
So that's where the basic concept came from. And anyone who's not familiar with Showgirls, our protagonist, her name is Nomi Malone.
Mm-hmm.
And she's heading to Vegas because she wants to be a showgirl.
She wants to be a dancer.
A dancer.
She wants to be, I want to dance.
She wants to dance. It hooks up with a ride with a stranger, this guy who looks like Elvis.
Yeah. It's so terrible.
Who ends up ripping her off, and then she's stranded. And then she makes a friend. She gets a job in a strip club. Mm-hmm. And her friend happens to be a wardrobe person for the big
show.
Dance show in Vegas. And then she gets into the show, and hilarity ensues.
It really does.
And it's a bad movie, but it's so bad it's good.
Oh, it's great.
And in fact, it coined a phrase. When anyone tries to describe a so bad it's good movie, they now just say, it's Showgirls bad. And that's all you need.
It is.
Showgirls bad.
And then
you
I'm
know
in.
What they're talking about.
Everything about the opening is just perfection. From the lookalike Elvis guy to the fact that, because he says, what's in your luggage, mafia money? Like, does she look like she has mafia money? She's wearing ugly jeans, this ugly blouse, her ugly jacket. And he just assumes she's got mafia money because she has a switchblade.
Right.
Like, what a, like, you're dumb. You're already dumb.
Right.
But you're even dumber, Nomi.
It's a suitcase and she's hitchhiking.
It's not even a good suitcase. I mean, this was filmed in, like, 94. Like, that's not even a modern-day suitcase then. We had soft-sided, like, rolling luggage. It does not look like a quality life this girl has led.
No, not at all.
But it's fabulous. And so he takes her. And maybe the uncle works at the Rio, I think he says. Is that the Rio?
I thought it was like the Riviera.
Oh, the Riviera, yeah. So he claims the uncle works there.
Right.
And then he gives her $10.
which is probably more money than she had in her suitcase. Right, totally. That he stole.
And she puts it in and gets a whole bunch of quarters. Man, I miss quarters in those slot machines because now it's all digital.
Yeah.
They just print out cards. Like, or not cards, little pieces of paper. So you miss that little ding 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 noise. Right. So it's nice to see that again in films. And then she loses it all because that's what happens in Vegas. You get greedy.
Right.
And then she gets hit up for prostitution by some creepy guys. Like, hey, it only take 15 minutes. Right. And then she goes out and the truck's gone. And she starts doing what she does, which is just beating shit up whenever she's in a tantrum mode.
Because she's very angry. She's angry. Through most of the movie. She's angry at everything.
It's just everything gets hit. Like, watch out for Nomi Malone.
Exactly.
Her flailing arms.
And it's like everything, every move she makes has purpose.
It does.
I'm angry. I'm going to beat people up. And then
it's the worst. The worst. Yes. So she's beating up some poor person's car. And it's not even a good car that she's beating up. This poor person's like, look at my shitty car. And now there's a person making it even shit. Am I allowed to swear?
Yeah.
Shitty. Okay, good. Shitty car. And you're making it shittier. And it turns out to be Molly.
Right.
Who becomes her BFF.
Right.
And poor Molly. We'll get further on the poor Molly story arc. But like, she takes her to the Peppermill, which, side note, greatest restaurant in all of Las Vegas. Have you been to the Peppermill?
I don't think so.
Okay, when you go inside, there are fake cherry trees everywhere, which are stunning, and like mirrored ceilings, and like lights, neon lights all along the floor, and it's like heaven. And they have 10 egg omelets, which Bobby, my husband's theory is they can't have 12 because 12 would be like cardiac arrest level, but you can get a 10 egg omelet. And it's like this giant omelet. It's open 24 hours a day. They have the Lamplight Lounge, which are like little jacuzzis you sit around that have little fires in the middle of them. It doesn't make any sense. It's the most glorious place on earth. And they go there to eat. And Nomi gets mad because Molly's just asking generic, like, so where are you from? Mm-hmm. What's going on? Why are you in a bad mood? And Nomi throws another temper tantrum and beats up a bunch of fries.
Yes.
You wasted those fries, which you didn't pay for. It makes me so mad. And poor Molly's like, I'm just trying to be a nice person. What's going on?
And then, even though she's dealing with this woman who has serious anger issues,
seriously,
invites her to come and live with me until you get a job or get on your feet.
It's like, that's danger, Molly. Danger. You are too nice. What's going on? I want to know Molly's story. Why are you allowing this woman? You could have been like, well, good luck to you.
And Molly lives in a trailer park, by the way.
She does. Which I have a problem with because I lived in Vegas for a year. Molly was making pretty good money if she was the main wardrobe mistress, is what she looked like on that show.
Yes.
She could afford a 1 to 2 bedroom apartment in Henderson. I don't understand why she's living in the trailer park. It doesn't make any sense. Unless she's trying to... Well, she does mention she's in school later. So maybe she's being responsible and is paying off her school at the same time so she won't graduate with student loans. But I'm just saying, she could afford an apartment. She could afford it.
Yeah.
She didn't need to be in the trailer.
I agree.
But, you know, she lives in a trailer and they've been there for 6 weeks. And oh my God, how cute are we? I ate all your chips. Oh my God, why? Yeah. It was so stupid. Come with me to work. Oh my God, I'm going to be late. I don't even care anymore.
Yeah, she's going to be, because now that Nomi's now works in a strip club.
Of course. She's a dancer.
What was the name of the strip club? Cheetahs?
Cheetahs. So they go to the Molly's work.
Right.
Because she has all this time to go to the strip.
Right.
And like go behind the scenes and watch a show.
Right.
Before her job. And she meets the amazing Crystal Connors.
Crystal
Gina
Connors.
Gershon.
Gina Gershon. Which, hey, you want to know who was originally considered for the role of Crystal Connors?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there was Madonna.
Okay.
And
not as good acting skills.
Sharon Stone.
Nah.
Sean Young.
Nah.
And Daryl Hannah.
Oh, but Daryl Hannah seems like she would have been too young at the time.
Probably. Do you want to know who they were considering for Nomi?
Sure.
Charlize Theron.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Drew Barrymore.
No. Oh, my. The lip. Sit. With my stuff. Terrible. It would have been awful. Okay.
Angelina Jolie.
But But was she, didn't she just come off of Gia at that time? That would have been too, too much for her. And she would have brought too much, like, bravado to the role, seriousness. And this wouldn't have probably been so bad it's good. It would have probably just been so bad.
It progressively gets worse, the list.
Oh, no.
You ready?
Yeah.
All right. Pamela Anderson?
Wasn't she too old at the time to play this role?
She's in the movie somewhere.
Is she?
Yeah.
Like in the background?
Yeah.
Okay.
Jenny McCarthy?
I feel like I could see that. I feel like that could have been there.
Denise Richards.
Yeah, I could see a Denise Richards at the time.
Denise Richards more believable as a showgirl than as a rocket scientist in a James Bond movie, which is what she was in, what was it? The World Is Not Enough.
Poor Denise Richards.
Yes.
God rest her soul for marrying Charlie Sheen.
All right, so flash forward. Nomi is at the Vegas show, mm-hmm. the showgirl show.
Do you realize how much mileage they get out of that dance number? You see it then when she sees it for the first time. It's what she auditions with. It's what she, when she gets the job, like, has to practice with. Then you see her perform it for the first time. And then you see her perform it at the very end. Like, five times. If you're talking about MGM, this should have been five different numbers that we saw throughout this whole thing. They got a choreographer to come out and do, like, one main dance number. And just, like, let's just use it. Let's just use it. By the way, fun fact for you. That Stardust... So only this set, based on my memory, which is very hazy. I saw a show at the Stardust called Enter the Night about a year after this movie came out. And there are elements of that that actually appear in this movie. And the rock work in that scene, I'm almost certain, was either the kind of cowboyish bolero number or the motorcycle number. But that was, and Enter the Night was this insane show that had an ice skating rink that popped up from beneath the stage,
yeah.
And they had, like, silver medal U.S. Open winners and everything who, like, went to the Olympics at 1.2, like, performing every night, and it had this amazing, like, enter the night, like, song, and it was a huge show, 62 performers, millions of dollars put into it. It was a big deal in Vegas. So it's nice to see a little bit of Enter the Night made it onto the screen permanently, because you can't find any footage or video of that except for small clips here and there. But I love that that's how cheap the film was, that they had to use sets from the actual show.
Right.
Because they probably couldn't afford, because those sets are, they're rough.
Yeah.
They're kind of, those costumes are rough. Like, have you ever seen, like, real showgirl costumes? Even the topless ones are a lot more sparkly spangly than, like, the first time you see Crystal Connors with her nipples outlined in gemstones.
Oh, yeah.
You're like, I think they would have done a little more. Applauds to casting women with some very nice breasts, though. It's very nice topless elements to this, which is very true.
There's Vegas. Tits galore in this movie.
There is. I mean, it's a young boy's dream in that way. But they don't do anything with them. Like, they really, they're sort of just... Like, even in a Vegas show with a topless showgirl, like, there's a presentation. They do a lot of crossing their arms and jerky. That choreography is terrible, by the way.
It is.
It's terrible choreography. Herky-jerkiness. And I'm like, you're not putting them on display for the world to see. Like,
right.
This is not how you present beautiful
breasts. If you have topless dancers in a glitzy Las Vegas show, the star... are the boobs.
Right? I'm not opposed to this. I mean, my problem with Jubilee was they sank the Titanic every night. And even though they had topless showgirls in it, they didn't sink the Titanic topless. It's like, come on. This was an opportunity here. But you're supposed to, like, pump up the fact that you've got the boobs on display.
Yes.
It's supposed to be the main part. And then she goes to work. After we see this very sad show. Because the costumes is, they're like gold napkins that are hung on with like a single string.
Yes.
And it was just, it's all terrible. And then you see for the first time the rivalry between Anne and, is it Julie? Who is it? It's Anne and somebody.
I forget her name.
Julie and Anne. And you see the very first nitpicky thing, because Julie's getting Molly to sew up her costume, and Anne's like, sew my G-string, sew my G-string, you know? Yeah. And you see them fighting. So, like, they're set. See, look at the good writing here. They're setting the groundwork for tension later between these two characters. It's very important to note. And at the same time, it's mirrored in Nomi mimicking Crystal Connor's dance moves to show that their future conflict is going to happen.
Right.
I'm just trying to plus up whatever screenplay skills are here.
And then, well, Nomi is a stripper now. Yes. in the Cheetah Strip Club.
Yeah.
And with the very crass...
Yes.
Strip club owner played by Robert Davi.
Yeah, pockmarked face.
Who is one of the bad guys in Goonies.
Yeah.
And a villain, a James Bond villain in Living Daylights. And it's funny because later he turns out to be the strip club owner, the crass strip club owner with a heart of gold.
Oh.
Later on. And then there's the...
Henrietta.
Yeah.
The big lady with her...
She is based on... there was this comedian in Vegas, Toadie Fields,
mm-hmm.
I think, years ago.
Yeah.
I'm like talking about, well, my mom and my parents would go to Vegas, it would be Toadie Fields, and that's who that character was based on, because she was very
loud and
dirty,
not a good comic.
And she would
show
expose
off
her
boobs.
Breasts.
Yeah, yeah. Crystal Connors says the best line when she mentions that she works at Cheetah. She's like, I don't know. I can just say that what you do there is not dancing. Like, you know, it's like I'm a dancer at Cheetah's. And it's not. They go to Cheetah's and they get the Hope, who's Penny, but we're going to call her Hope.
Right,
because nobody wants to have sex with a Penny. Sex with a Hope, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
then you got Heather now, which is Nomi's fake name, Heather. So it's always nice to hear my name pop up in horrible context. And they've got the Japanese convention of five men.
Yes.
Show up. It's like nobody. And it's so... I think the guy from Stardust brings them, correct? He brings them with Crystal and Zach, who's like the entertainment director or something.
Yeah, I believe Zach is the entertainment director. Who's Kyle MacLachlan,
who actually had a career continue after this movie.
Yeah, well, he had a career before that. Yeah. But yeah, his career... wasn't harmed.
No.
Like Elizabeth Berkley's career.
She was dropped, I heard, by her agent after this film.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like that's how much they hated it.
Well, it's because her acting was so terrible in it. And they were like, you know, she was like the only one who did not survive because...
Yeah.
Because they saw, well, no way, she can never be an A-list actor. She sucks.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
And so that's why she went back to like supporting roles, whatever she could get.
Yeah.
I don't know. But Kyle MacLachlan... He came out of it unfazed, and Robert Davi lived to be a villain.
Lived again. He lived to make it again.
And it didn't hurt Gina Gershon.
Who is in another favorite terrible film of mine about Frank Sinatra, where she plays his first wife, Nancy, I think. Is Nancy Sinatra's first wife's name?
Yeah.
Yeah, so she plays like his first wife in it, and it's this made-for-TV movie. And you're like, Gina Gershon, what are you doing in this film? Yeah. She's like, I want to be serious.
So Nancy Sinatra was named after her mother then?
I think so, yeah.
Oh, okay.
So they do some terrible stripping because it is terrible. Oh, before they get to the strip club. No, she doesn't go to the strip club yet. She goes to the Crave Club to dance.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because she doesn't want to go to her job.
Right.
And there she meets Jesse? Is it Jesse Smith or something?
Played by Glenn Plummer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like he's like, you can't dance, and she can't.
Yeah.
Because what she's doing on the dance floor is terrible. I could teach you.
Right.
And then she kicks him in the balls. Because that's what she does when she doesn't like things.
Yep.
She kicks him in the balls. And so she goes to jail and he bails her out.
Right.
And then
he becomes infatuated with her.
Mm-hmm.
And then she runs into him again when he's working at a hotel.
As the valet.
Yeah. And he loses that job. And then
he didn't button his valet jacket up. I don't know if you noticed. He was the only one. Yeah. You're like, dude, no.
And then he takes her back to his place
mm-hmm.
and shows this number he's been working on, dance number.
Which is bad.
That he wrote for her. You don't write a dance number. That he choreographed for her.
Oh, that's such... bothered me the entire time that they kept saying, I wrote this for you. I'm like, I don't understand.
And then he shows it... a little bit to her. Then they make out.
Mm-hmm. And then she's on her period, and,
so they can't have sex.
Gross scene. Check. And then yeah, if and you watch checks. Him, he like rubs his fingers after, and I'm like, yes. It's the grossest thing in the world.
Guys, if a girl says she's having her period, she probably is.
Yeah.
And there's no need to check.
And if she isn't, but she says it, it means she's not interested. So yeah. Take it as a no.
Yes.
It's the worst.
But then Jesse later hooks up with Penny, mm-hmm. Hope. Yeah. Penny. And does the dance number with her.
And it's terrible.
And it's a terrible dance number. Yeah. And it's like, you know, wait a minute, guys. We're in Vegas?
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, if you're going to do like a modern dance piece, you're going to do it in some club in
Vegas? It's the Crave Club that he got kicked out of and fired from. But they're like, it's fine. Fired. Did I say fried? Okay. Fired. Yeah, he got fired from the Crave Club because he started the fight with her. Because right. He got kicked in the balls and he's drinking on the job too. I'm like, what a terrible bouncer you are. But they let him come back.
He's a little too small to be a bouncer.
He is. But then they let him come back and put on a terrible dance number. Was it to humiliate him further? Like, I don't understand the motivation of the club to let him come back. It doesn't make any sense. Also, very sad. The first time we go to the Crave Club, did you hear the music that was going on? It's David Bowie. I guess MGM or whatever, Warner Group, had a deal and they could use all this really good music in it. So it's David Bowie playing and she's doing her terrible dancing to I'm Afraid of Americans, mm-hmm. And it breaks your heart. It really just, you're like, oh... David, you deserve so much better than Showgirls. You spent all the money.
There's actually a lot of good music on that soundtrack.
There is, which is what's so sad about it. But not that track that he choreographed.
No,
that's
no,
not on that. There.
Yeah, and the dance is just terrible. And he's like, no one cares. Well, yeah, no one cares.
Yeah.
It's Vegas. You're at the Crave Club.
Yeah.
They don't come to see modern dance at the Crave Club. In fact, you want to do that stuff, dude, you got to move to Chicago or New York. Because Vegas...
Yeah, they're not interested. If you're going to do it, it's going to be at, like, V Variety at the Planet Hollywood in their afternoon show, and parents are going to cover their children's eyes. But that's the best you're going to get at this point.
Yeah.
It's not going to go any further.
Pretty horrible.
It was. It was totally horrible. But then she goes, after she meets Crystal, well, Crystal goes to her strip club and... buys for $500 a lap dance for Zach.
Yep, for Zach.
And it's the worst lap dance ever.
And
it's a terrible lap dance. First of all, she's gyrating against his chest.
Well, yeah.
I don't think Nomi knows where the penis is on a man.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's that other scene that we'll get to.
I think she has anatomy issues. It's probably because she's always on her period, because that's what she keeps saying in this film. And it's just, you know, Crystal.
But he has an orgasm at the end of it.
I mean, he could have been faking. We don't know.
She's just that sexy.
She just is. And it's to a Prince song.
It was a successful dry hump.
It was. Oh my God. The chafing. It's so awful. And just like, she has a lot of upper body motion and she does a lot of leg lifts, which... I don't know. Who's the guy playing Zach again?
Kyle MacLachlan. Twin Peaks.
I remember him from Twin Peaks. Did that, do you think, scar him? Like, having to look at Elizabeth Berkley's... Like, that was an open muff. Because you see... Like, they darken it, but she's fully nude.
They might have put that Barbie doll appliance on it.
They didn't
do
anything.
Have.
No.
You know what I'm talking about.
They don't have any money. Yeah, I've heard about it. There was no money to do that here. This was just upsetting. Because I'm going to say, if you slow it down... When Penny is crawling across the stage earlier in the strip club and her first night, which for a first night stripper, she's great.
Yeah.
I'm just saying there's an outline that you're like, oh, she's not wearing anything. That's a full on. That's the lady parts.
Yeah.
It's an anatomy lesson we're having right now. That's what's going on. Just saying. But she gets a job. An audition out of it at least.
Yeah, she does.
She gets an audition.
and then she gets it. She gets the show.
She gets the job. And that audition, that redhead guy, the first time I ever saw a preview for Modern Family, I thought, I don't even know his name, but the guy on Modern Family who's a redhead was the guy from Showgirls. And I was like, what? look at that. He managed to make it to the big time. And then I found out it was not that guy.
No, it's not the same guy.
Not the same guy. And it's, again, terrible dancing. And the guy, you heard Tony, was it Tony Moss? I'm a prick. I'm going to be a prick in here. Blah, 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 blah.
Oh, yeah.
And then he's like, your nipples aren't hard. She's all yeah. twisting them on stage. She's not even twisting her nipples. She's like holding her boobs. And it's like, twist them. Like, I think he wants... That's why I think she has a problem with anatomy. Yeah. She doesn't understand. And it's just...
Okay, get some ice. Put some ice on those.
Yeah, and she's like, hits the bowl of ice. Because yeah. that's what Nomi does.
Yeah,
because
she's angry.
She's angry at the no ice. And they just... But they still give her the job.
Yep, she gets the job.
Because she's got fire.
She does.
And then for her to say she doesn't have lessons... She's like, I didn't have any lessons. It's bullshit. Because she knows what a PK turn is. And then she does a little tap dancing thing when she buys her dress. Which we'll talk about the Versace. So
yeah, the Versace.
That's bullshit. She's had lessons. She's just not a good dancer.
Right.
So that's all that has to be to it.
When she talks about her dress being a Versace, there's the mean people who are like, oh yeah, it's a Versace. Versace. But then it's Kyle MacLachlan who says... It's Versace. What? It's not Versace. It's Versace. Versace.
Which, how dumb is she? Very dumb.
Yes.
Because she's like, my birthday's 7373. Like, just picked random numbers. You don't know my social. I'll get that to you later, okay?
Yeah.
Didn't know the word deceased to describe her parents. Oh, I don't have any family. The other lady with the crazy purple eyeshadow. Deceased? Yeah, deceased. Deceased. Yeah. Whatever that means. Yes. So her parents are dead. Deceased. I have to go back quickly to something, though, because there's a great line. There's so many great lines in this film. When later on we talked about how it's John Smith, I think, not Jesse. I keep calling him Jesse. But the guy, the dancer who's like, I can teach you to dance.
Glenn Plummer.
Glenn Plummer, when he sees her and he's like talking about the strip he managed to watch. She managed to watch the lap dance in a private room, right, even though he wasn't a paying customer. He's like, yeah, and everybody got AIDS. It's like, what? How is that? I don't think you know how that works either. When the writer wrote this script, I just questioned if he understood anatomy or how, like, biology worked, because he's got a lot of confusing issues in this that just reveal themselves in delightful ways. But she gets the job, and then she goes and has to do a practice run where you watch the choreography all over again.
Right,
and yes. She wants a burger and fries, but they give her brown rice and vegetables and water.
Right.
And she's going to go on that night.
That's right.
She's going to go on that night.
Tonight. You're going on tonight.
Tonight. And then we see more of Anne and Julie fighting because Julie brought her kids.
Yes. Yeah, her kids are running around.
You say the F word. And I'm like, Julie's dropped that F word in front of you guys quite a few times.
And her kids was a little boy and a little girl, and there's all these boobs around.
That little boy does the best non-acting ever because his mouth is just agape in every scene. Like, he went through puberty on that film. It's terrible.
Maybe it was Paul Verhoeven's kids.
Maybe. It was. I was like, who agreed to this? Who agreed to put their kids in this? And it's obvious those kids are seeing boobs.
Oh yeah,
there's yeah. no problems there.
No CGI back then.
No, and which we'll get to.
Yes, yes.
And then so Julie and Anne are in the midst of their fight, and Nomi shows up. Oh, what? There are monkeys.
Oh yeah, there's monkeys running around.
Because why not? There's like, and they're like, watch out, the monkey crapped on the stage.
Yeah.
Don't, and you think something's going to come with the crap, and nothing happened. So it was a little.
Because I think the monkeys were the opener for the Crystal Connor show.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about, hey, we're the monkeys.
Yeah.
I'm talking about monkeys.
Monkeys. It's just bizarre. It's like, why are they running loose in the dressing room afterwards? Why isn't there a place for the monkeys
to go? And it seems like it's something that happens often. Like, yeah, they're like, the monkeys got out again.
Catch that monkey. Like, there's literally somebody who goes, catch the monkey. And you're like, what? Why? Why did you do this? This is not hygienic. This is not right.
Monkeys and boobs.
Oh, such a bad combination. But Zach's proud of our girl, and he invites her back to his house.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
To the ugliest pool ever with neon palm trees.
Right.
and dolphins that vomit water.
Yep.
And Nomi goes for a swim.
Yeah, she goes for a swim, and then Zach joins her.
Very dangerously, they put glass in the pool, and then they let it go.
Yes.
Which, let me tell you, well, I'll tell you
after. Well, he pours the champagne on her.
On her.
And then licks it off. Oh. And then they have seizure sex.
My dad saw this at a WGA screening, and when he saw it, he said somebody yelled out, "Reel her in!" in the middle of it. But what always bothered me about this scene is when they're having this violent sex, you can see the champagne bottle and glasses bouncing around in the background. I'm like, that's going to break. Do you know how hard it is to get glass out of a pool? You have to drain the whole pool. Like, he's being irresponsible. This is not right. And it's just, again, she's on his torso.
Right.
He seems to enjoy it. But I
maybe he just has high penis placement.
Maybe it's just that big. But I have to, how many takes? This is what I want to know. An anatomy of a scene. How many takes did they do? Because she's very athletic. Because if they did more than three takes, mm-hmm. how exhausted must she have been by that, like, final take? And pruny, but exhausted. And I'm surprised she didn't, like, whip her neck out of shape while she was flailing around. I'm like, that just doesn't seem, you know, like, very supportive, like, holding her up very well. I'm impressed by her athleticism.
She had good abs.
Very, she has a very strong core.
She's a dancer.
She's a
dancer.
So bad. You know what's great is that if you watch Saved by the Bell, Las Vegas Wedding.
Saved by the Bell.
So Saved by the Bell. It's another movie. Saved by the Bell, Las Vegas Wedding, which also takes place at the Stardust Hotel.
Okay.
Jesse Spano, who Elizabeth Berkley plays in that, shows up at the very end, and you can tell she's in her Nomi Malone hair. Because it's much blonder than how she was on Saved by the Bell.
Okay.
And she's not in the entire film until the very end. So I have this alternate reality that I believe where, like, Jesse Spano hitchhiked from Bayside High and went to Las Vegas to become a dancer. And, like, Zach is actually Zach Morris from, like, Bayside High, and they ended up together. And, like, Molly's Lisa. And, like, this is where the Bayside High people ended up. It's just my little version of events. Kelly is actually Crystal Connors. Just, it puts much more of a delightful spin on everything when you think about it.
So your fantasy sequel to Saved by the Bell.
Las Vegas Wedding is Showgirls.
Softcore porn.
Yeah. Do you think the kid who played Screech when he saw Showgirls, because you know he did, what's his name? Dustin Diamond.
Yeah.
Like, was very confused after, like, watching this. Because, you know, he was so much younger than the other guys.
Yeah.
That, like, he was like, Jesse, like, do you think he had a hard time differentiating Jesse Spano and, like, Elizabeth Berkley and this? I just wonder about him.
I don't know.
I mean, he's had a really bad life.
Isn't he in jail now?
He's been, and he's, like, done. He had his own porn. See, I'm thinking right. He got damaged. I think this caused long-lasting damage to Dustin Diamond. Another theory I have on this whole thing. Just saying.
Okay.
Also, Henrietta and the old boss show up.
Yep.
And Henrietta has a ton of dresses where her boobs can be seen. That's all I think. Her wardrobe is full of dresses. That are rigged. Because she pops her boobs out on the Stardust stage.
Yes.
But you know what? I would too.
But
that's what I think.
But that scene, I'm glad you brought it up. Because I really enjoy that moment. Where Robert Davi, he shows that he is actually a nice guy. And he says, hey, you know, you did a great job. I'm proud of you. You know, and there's that tender moment where he touches her face. Mm-hmm. She's smiling. And then they're walking away, and then he turns around and he goes, is it weird not getting cum on?
Excellent script writing. Yeah. It's so good.
It's like this tender moment.
It is.
And then that line.
It's, oh my gosh. I mean, he was just questioning. He's curious. Yes. He had to know. Oh my Lord.
Because I think they're supposed to represent like a mother father figure, like a
the effed up substitute mother father
dysfunctional family
who she's known for like at this point 6 weeks based upon
right,
the
yeah.
little thing that shows
and,
up
and they've got this history and this bond
yeah Nomi's damaged, she's damaged goods as we'll find out. I have to say, in the costuming on this, there was a lot of wrap tops. And I don't know if you noticed, but it bugged me.
Wrap tops?
Yeah, that's a top that's open, and then you wrap it around and tie it in the back.
Oh, okay.
To close it. So I think the costume designer got like 50 of them on discount, because they're everywhere in this. Like, every scene, somebody's in a wrap top. And I had to point that out because it bothers me.
Okay.
It bothers me a lot. So. Yeah. So, then Crystal, so Annie and Julie are fighting.
Right.
And Julie's pissed about the kids. So, Daryl, Annie's partner, and the only reason I know Daryl's name is because Daryl's played by Kevin Stia. Kevin Stia is a backup dancer who was in one of my favorite singers in the 80s and 90s, Madonna's Blonde Ambition Tour.
Okay.
And he was also in Newsies, which was the movie that put me through puberty, because suddenly you're like, boys on screen. Oh my God. So crazy. So I know it's Kevin Stia because he has a very distinct look. And Julie throws rhinestones on stage.
Oh, yep, yep.
And Annie slips and falls and fractures her knee.
Well, actually, he slips.
Oh, he and slips he and drops falls. Her. Yeah, he drops her.
Yeah.
And they leave her on stage for the rest of the show. Yeah. That's the thing.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, because it happens. And then she's like there. She's writing in pain.
Yeah.
And then cut to the theater is empty. The stage lights are up, and she's
still like in the half out of costume.
So it makes you wonder: did they finish the show? They're just laying there.
It was like, and in the time it would have taken, nobody has called an ambulance yet.
Yes.
They're like, I think we need to call an ambulance. But poor Annie. She has a lot to complain about to OSHA about safety
yes,
on that.
Yes.
And everybody's like, how did it happen? Mm-hmm. Gee. And Julie's like, I wonder what did it. And then the stage guy's like, these runstones, obviously. Yeah. Dumbasses.
Yeah, here's the culprit.
Here it is.
And then what's her name? Says, oh, they must have fallen off of somebody's costume.
But they're not on anybody's costume because the costumes are trash.
Yes.
Awful. Oh, so Annie, we find out, is Crystal's understudy.
Right.
Which is an interesting choice, but okay. It's nothing to do. It's just it's an interesting choice. Annie seemed to be a little more aggro out there, but you never know. And so they had to find the replacement.
Of course.
So you got Julie, Nikki, and Nomi all auditioning.
Yep.
And they do the same dance that they always do.
Yes.
Same horrible dance.
Let's audition. Just do the same dance you have been doing.
Yeah, for the entire time. And because she's sleeping with Zach, she gets it.
Yeah.
But only for a short period of time. Because when Crystal finds out, and they have that great scene. He's like, are you mad that I fucked her, that I got to her first?
Yeah.
And so, and then it gets rescinded.
Rescinded. Right, right.
Like they...
Well, does it get rescinded after or before the Nomi Crystal hate date?
Oh, that is after. So the Nomi Crystal hate date is right after she gets hired. Where they go to Spago, and she's like, I can't read anything on this menu. But like, Spago's menu is like burgers, fries, pizza, pasta. It's like, well, you just can't read. This
right.
is what I'm learning. You're illiterate. You don't know the word deceased, and you can't read a menu. And they have the fantastic puppy chow.
Yes.
Or doggy chow discussion.
Yeah. How they eat doggy chow.
Doggy chow.
When times were tough.
Yeah. Which, applause to Gina Gershon for an attempt to really put some gravity behind that.
Yes.
I don't think any actress, Madonna, or who's on your list,
Sean
Young, or Daryl Hannah.
Sharon Stone.
Yeah. I don't think they could have quite captured it either, because... That's the worst dialogue ever written.
Yes.
And it's so good that when you hear it the first time, you can't help but guffaw. That puppy chow. Like, the way she says it. It's,
Well, that was the moment where they bonded, too, right?
They bonded, but then they fought. Because then she talked, like, she's like, what are your tits like? He likes wearing a dress. Likes dancing. You're like, what? Just, doesn't make any sense. What are you talking about? Like, this is the weirdest conversation two ladies to have.
Right. Yeah. Well, because prior to the doggy chow conversation, they're just trading insults.
Yeah.
That's why we refer to it as the hate date.
Yes. The Gina Gershon hate date. And Nomi is just walking into these traps.
Oh, yeah.
Set by her. Oh, yeah. Every single time. It's like, your nails are like a stripper. I don't, maybe I'll let you do them anyways. Never mind. I don't want to look like a whore. And you're like, Nomi, yeah. You just keep walking into this every time. I don't feel sorry for you.
Well, because there's a love story there.
There's
an attraction.
There is.
Between Nomi and Crystal.
There is.
It's sexual tension
mm-hmm.
that they can't seem to get past.
Yes.
To get together.
That's right. Because of all the issues of being bad people.
Yes.
That's what it really comes down to. They're all bad people. So Crystal's pissed, probably because of the sexual tension. So Nomi can no longer be her understudy. Now it's going to be Nikki. Nikki's going to be the understudy.
Yep.
So then they have their dominatrix dance scene.
Right.
Which is hideous. I don't know any show that has simulated oral sex on stage.
Nope.
At least in Vegas. And I've been to a lot of the crazy horse shows and everything. So this was pretty hideous. And Nomi gets pushed. No, pushes.
Pushes Crystal. Yes.
Down those stairs. That they have to run up and down six times. A show.
Right.
Why do they have stairs?
I don't know.
Why
the
are there stairs?
The dressing rooms are in the basement.
Why? That doesn't make any sense. They should be closer to the stage. But, all right. I have to run up those stairs, or down them, and Crystal falls.
Yep.
And they're trying to discuss who's going to replace her, and they throw out Janet Jackson and Paula Abdul.
No, would they even say LaToya Jackson?
LaToya earlier. Like, we could have. They introduced Crystal, and they're at the big Crystal opening. But a lot of these things don't make sense. Crystal makes it sound like later on in the film, she's been doing the show for like 8 years or for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
But then they have a show like, we could have gotten anyone. We could have gotten LaToya. But then later when they want to replace her, they're like, let's get Janet.
Oh, yeah. And Paula Abdul.
It's yeah.
Like, but wait.
I think you got to go to Reby.
You're going to get Janet Jackson or Paula Abdul to parade around a stage topless?
Janet Jackson might have.
Maybe.
You never know.
Maybe.
But it was.
But they're not going to sing. They're singers.
Yeah. And they're just doing
it's a dance
dancing.
Show.
Awful dancing. It's not even a good dance show. And so Crystal Connors is out of the picture for a while.
Yeah.
So they pick Nomi because she's got the heat.
Yeah.
She's got the heat. And Julie also is like, I totally saw her. She fell. But Molly's like, I saw you.
Yeah,
you pushed
yeah.
her.
So now Molly is pissed at Nomi.
Yeah.
Because she's playing a game.
Yeah.
She's playing a game she never thought she would play.
Yeah. This woman who was beating up her car the first time she met her
yeah.
and hits everything she sees.
Right.
How could you?
Yeah. But then Julie backs her up because, you know, Julie wants something.
Yes.
Which we find out later when Julie says, hey, well, you need an understudy.
Yep. Julie wants that job. And she's like, I'll put some word in for you. Also, who does a photo shoot completely exposed? Like, the photo shoot where they're announcing Nomi. They're like, she's topless.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And standing down the robe. And also, I thought that volcano scene was early in the show, and that's the costume she's in. I thought the motorcycle dominatrix, well, I'm guessing it's in the middle of the show, and I'm hoping to God that the one where Annie falls in the Grecian column scene is the last one, because otherwise, poor Annie's been on that stage for too long.
Yeah.
So, why is she still in that costume? The continuity. I'm going to nitpick over this. But then they throw a big party to
yes,
celebrate
the
Nomi.
Big party.
And what is it? Andrew Carver?
Andrew Carver, who's
a rock star.
He's the bad Michael Bolton. Yes, he's the evil Michael Bolton.
Yes, and Molly's masturbation topic, like, because she's like, she doesn't say masturbate, but she's like, I look at him so much that now I can't thread a needle, because to insinuate that she's like fingering herself so much that her fingers can't thread a needle anymore.
Correct.
It doesn't make any sense. I don't know why, like, Molly, there's other things out there, but you know, she's saving her pennies because she's going to college.
Yep.
That's all we can think.
Yep.
So,
But at this point, because she was really mad at mm-hmm. Nomi, and now she's forgiven her.
Because Andrew Carver.
Andrew Carver.
Bringer of
evil
people.
Michael
yeah.
Bolton.
Well, at first he doesn't seem that evil, just sleazy, when he tells Nomi he wants to do her.
Yeah.
And then...
Because he tells Nomi he wants to do Nomi.
Nomi.
And then Nomi's like, here's my friend Molly.
Yeah. And then he takes her a drink, and then he takes her upstairs, where they gang rape her.
Yes.
He and his two security guards.
Yep.
I have a question. If you're gang raping somebody, why do you take off your shirt? Because that's what one of the security guards does. He takes off his shirt. And I was like, was that actually necessary?
Well,
in the whole...
let me think about the last time I gang raped somebody.
It just didn't make any sense. I was like, put your shirt back on. That's what not this is not about. And he, man, Andrew Carver, that's Nomi in like male form. Because he just wallops her in the face.
Oh,
you've
got
a fan who's obsessed. You give her a little bit of coke, she's going to be out. He needed to take like some tips from Bill Cosby. Because this could have been real easy.
Well, yeah. Well, you, yeah.
I know he had the good drugs. He's Andrew Carver.
Right.
His poster was on the Caesar's Palace marquees in the garage area.
Right.
Which means he was playing at Caesar's Palace, so he had to be somewhat popular.
Right.
So he has the money for the good kush, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah, there was no need to...
To punch her in the face! Poor Molly! And you're like, Molly, what happened?
Well, you know, that scene is one of the things that MGM feels hurt the movie.
Oh, no.
Yeah. It's like, trust me, it wasn't the violent rape scene.
No. There was so much more.
It was the whole movie.
So she finds Molly because she goes to look for her.
Well, no, Molly comes down.
Oh, that's right. She comes down.
Yeah.
And she's all like battered and bruised. And they go to the hospital and you find out they're not going to press charges against Andrew Carver. He's going to just pay off Molly.
Right.
Which, I mean, you know, maybe.
We should get out of that trailer.
She should. And then Zach reveals her whole, like, we know who you are.
Yep.
Okay, this is ridiculous. Her name is Pollyanna. That's her real name.
Right.
Pollyanna, whatever. And if early, if you remember, she gets called Pollyanna by Tom Moss. So look at that beautiful, like, callback.
Yeah, it's like, wow.
Look at that script writing. And he's like, yeah, for, you know, your murder-suicide with your parents. And then assault. Larceny. Solicitation. Right. Solicitation. Solicitation. And you're like, so she's a whore?
Yep, she's a hooker.
And then he's like, he asked her, like, how much did you charge? She's like, $100. He's like, oh, that's too little because you're a good fuck.
Yeah.
And she spits in his face.
Right.
And she's going to take matters into her own hand.
Because we already know that Zach is a snake.
He is.
But now he's revealed to Nomi.
How snaky he is.
Yes, exactly.
Which she should have realized early on, but Nomi's dumb.
Right.
She's super dumb. So she decides to take matters in her own hand, and she calls up Andrew Carver. She's like, I want to come over and have sex.
Right.
So he's like, cool, come over.
So this is where it becomes a revenge movie.
It does. And she shows up in her little leopard print outfit, top and skirt.
Yeah.
And she's taking off her top.
With the lipstick nipples.
Yes. And he's going at her nipples.
Yeah.
And she pulls out the switchblade and says, don't make a sound or I'll kill you. And then she beats the crap out of him.
Right, with some good karate kicks.
Yeah, real good karate kicks.
Yep.
She had lessons.
She's a dancer.
She's a dancer. And now this is why I say, I love this movie, but I adore the VH1 edit. Because the VH1 edit draws bras on all the women. And they bounce. They're like, airbrush, airbrush line. They're not even that well done. But in this scene... is whoever that artist was, some poor intern had to do this. It is the masterpiece. Because what you see in the VH1 edit is her starting to unbutton the top, and then she just starts kicking. And when it cuts back to her top, she's still in the long sleeve top with leopard print. So some intern had to draw on every single still this leopard print shirt while she's kicking his ass. And I applaud that person. Well done, sir. And it's just, the spots are moving all over. But that's why I say the VH1 edit is the superb edit.
But that's not the only thing in the VH1 edit. Yeah. Elizabeth Berkley refused to come in and redub some of the dialogue so it was TV friendly.
Yeah.
So they got some other woman.
Doesn't even sound like her.
It doesn't sound like her. And so it's a jarring shift.
It's terrible. Yes. It's wonderful. And I'm not saying it's terrible. It's wonderful. Watch the VH1 edit. I'm trying to find a bootleg of it. If anybody knows where it is out there, send it my way because I adore this edit. It's so much worse and it makes it so much better. And then Nomi is done. She's going to leave town.
Yep.
So she hitchhikes her way out of there.
Yeah, and she's picked up by the same guy that picked her up in the beginning and ripped her off.
Look at that callback again.
How ironic.
So amazing. And she asks for her suitcase. And yes. It's like, girl, that's long gone. It's been at least 6 weeks since this happened.
And I still want to know what was in the suitcase and how that suitcase did him any good.
Yeah, mafia money. Was in it. And why does she want it back? Maybe it's some memento of her mom's.
Maybe.
And he. This is
maybe her parents were in the suitcase.
Like the actual parents. Oh, showgirls, you are a delight. I love this movie so much.
It's a great movie.
I enjoyed it so much watching it again for this, and just, you know, thank you, Peach,
for letting me
rewatch this film and remember why I love it so much.
Well, you know, when the movie's was first released, it was a box office bomb.
Oh, I can't believe that.
and they felt it was due to the NC-17 rating and the poor reviews.
I'm going to go with that one more.
But it found new life in home video, and it made over like $100 million.
See, which they knew what they were doing. I mean, I will admit, I've seen Showgirls, the drag show, starring Chad Michaels and Willem from season 4 of RuPaul's Drag Race.
Okay.
And it's spectacular. And they go fully topless because they're men. They can do that on the stage. Mm-hmm. And I saw it in a dance club. Like, it was like mirroring the movie. Like, the Crave Club had the modern art dance thing. This Dragonfly Club had Showgirls.
Okay.
And it was fabulous. But they've also made Showgirls, the musical.
Yeah, Off-Broadway.
Off-Broadway. They made something you sent me, and I could barely get through the trailer, which was the sequel featuring Penny.
Oh, yes. Showgirls 2, Pennies from Heaven.
Oh, so terrible.
Which was written and directed by the girl who played Penny.
So you know it's bad. And she wasn't a good dancer or actress.
And it's horrible, but some of the original cast members come back. Glenn Plummer's back because he's her husband.
Oh, that's right.
So she leaves him, and she goes to Hollywood.
What?
To make it as a dancer. and she runs into the guy, the sleazy guy that was like Zach's right-hand man.
Oh, yeah. The one who said, let's go to the boat show.
Yeah.
And then tried to have him sleep with the Japanese guy.
And he's in it. And I tried watching it.
But you just couldn't.
And I couldn't get half.
So the writing was even worse?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't know what... The actress who played Penny, I can't pronounce her name, so I'm not even going to try. So.
Something Riffle, I think.
Yeah.
The last name.
So, that's like Rita Riffle?
Yeah,
or something like that.
It was an alliteration name.
And so I don't know if she was trying to use this as, you know...
A launching?
Yeah, like a relaunching pad, perhaps. Hey, look at me. I was in Showgirls. I made Showgirls 2.
Yeah, I mean, I will say there's a legacy to Showgirls that actually exists in that if you remember, right after that movie came out, even though it was trashed, all of these Las Vegas reality shows about the real Showgirls of Las Vegas kind of thing started popping up on E! And I think maybe VH1 and all this. And like they went to a bunch of the shows and like Jubilee, I remember, had a whole season where they showed how Jubilee was done. So it did revitalize, I think, some attention on Vegas in a way of the glitz and the glamour.
Yeah.
In a strange way. And my dream is to actually get one of the local theaters in Vegas to turn this into their Rocky Horror Picture Show in Vegas, where you do midnight showings and you get drag queens to act out the roles and people throw pennies on the stage and Penny shows up, you know, when she starts having her seizure, you know, scene. I'm sure we can come up like squirt bottles or something. And I just think it'd be the greatest, you know, new generational version of Rocky Horror Picture Show live.
Well, one thing I want to bring up back when I was living in Chicago and I was working with this improv theater company, Noble Fool Theater, and they had a little cabaret stage. And every Saturday night, this group would come in and they would do sock puppet showgirls.
Oh my gosh.
And the showgirls with sock puppets. They would do the whole movie.
That sounds amazing.
And it was hilarious.
Yeah, this movie has a legacy in a weird way. And it's a movie that I think is going to inspire in some odd fashion people for years to come. By doing spoofs, by doing these kind of crazy one-offs of this show. And, you know, you have to kind of applaud the movie for that. In the end, wasn't it kind of a success?
Yeah.
That it became part of the cultural... It was
very, very much a success in the end. And a lot of people look at it as a satire, although that's not what it was originally intended to be. But people look at it as a satire. And like, as I mentioned earlier, Joe Esterhaus saying, oh, yeah, I meant to write it that way.
Yeah.
No. And the dialogue is supposed to be campy. And the quirkiness of it all has a lot to do with Paul Verhoeven. Mm-hmm. Because, I don't know if I mentioned this earlier. If I did, I'll edit it out. But, you know, RoboCop mm-hmm. and Total Recall and Starship Troopers, those were funny movies.
Yeah.
Because they had this quirkiness to them, which even Basic Instinct has that quirkiness. Mm-hmm. And it transferred over to Showgirls.
I think Showgirls suffer from a poor script, though. You know, sorry.
Wait, poor script written by the highest paid screenwriter in Hollywood.
How do I get that gig if I can write this level of...
He also wrote Jagged Edge and some other stuff.
It's good to know. It's a great film that I think anybody who's serious about understanding film kind of needs to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think it's all the bad things a person can do in a film sort of grouped into one. In terms of storytelling. I actually can't criticize, you know, the direction of the film. I think it paces pretty well. Doesn't really drag or anything.
It's 2 hours and 11 minutes long.
Is it? It doesn't feel that way. It feels pretty good.
Because,
You're having fun watching it. I think that it's... Honestly, if you watch it and you want to take a critical analysis of it, it's the script. You're watching a script that's trying to do all the things that makes a script great. Callbacks, references, reveals, you know, surprise turns. And yet it fails every step of the way by hitting cliche, by hitting, you know, your expectation of what you go for, or having a shock value so extreme, like the gang rape scene, that you're like, what the hell happened in this movie? Why did this turn occur that was so big? It doesn't make any sense. I think it's a perfect movie to watch to understand terrible storytelling.
Yes.
What not to do, Showgirls.
Is there anything else you want to add about Showgirls?
Just make sure if you can, find that VH1 edit.
Yes.
Because it will delight you.
All right. Well, thanks a lot, Heather.
Thank you, Peach. This was a lot of fun.
It was a hoot.
It was titillating.
Boobtacular.
I had the breast night ever.
And that does it for this episode of Cinema Boob Radiso. We'll be back soon with a in-depth discussion of The Lady in the Water and Steven Spielberg's AI. Good night.